Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Winning the battle. Tell them you're doing better than you thought you're doing. Come on, encourage them. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We've been talking about overcoming the sin problem, the flesh problem that we have. We have talked about overcoming temptation and how to overcome temptation, how to win the battle within. And today we're going to eventually get to the power of the gospel in a nutshell, why Jesus came to this earth. Not only why he came, but how he came, the virgin birth, the immaculate conception, that God would robe himself in flesh and put on a humanity suit to come to this earth. And I haven't said it in a while, but I love it because Jesus, all God, put on a human being suit, a flesh suit to show up on this earth. But when we got saved and filled with his spirit, we are all man, but we got to put on God, praise God. We got to put on a robe of deity, and not only on us, but the Bible says the spirit, it can live and dwell within us. Last week we talked about the difference between self-life and self-lead. And self-leading doesn't mean willpower and you're doing it on your own. What it means is, as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, that we take the responsibility that it's no one else's fault how my life has turned out. That it's no one else's responsibility, the direction of my life, that I am the CEO, that you are the CEO, and you and I get to fire and hire accordingly. And 2 weeks ago, I talked about how we fire way too slow and hire way too fast. Can I encourage you to pray about who you bring into your life? And can I encourage you that even though it might take a difficult conversation or text message, that you need to cut people loose out of your life that are not bringing you value and making you a better believer? Self-life says, I live by my own rules. That's how we are and were before we came to Christ. But to self-lead says, I live my life by God's spirit and God's word. Self-life says, I lead. Self-lead says, God leads. Self-leadership is God's way. Nobody likes to be told what to do, but I don't mind letting God tell me what to do because God has never steered me wrong. I've had people that have given me stock tips that have cost me money. I have had people who have introduced me to other people that said, oh, this is going to be a great person in your life, only for 2 or 3 years later for me to figure out they are not a great person in my life and they are a liability in my life. So self-leadership is God's way, letting God direct us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, when your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit, you hinder Jesus from living free within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your self-life from dominating you. I shared with the men in our last session yesterday morning at the finality of the last session, I said, what is the issue with a lot of believers today is we've gotten really good at receiving the things of God, but not living in the things of God. We've become really good at coming in on a Sunday and saying, God, this is what I need you to do, and God does what we need in that moment, but we don't carry that thing out through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday until we come back next Sunday. Verse 17 goes on to say, so then the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the spirit. How many of you talk to yourself? Just raise your hand. It's okay, I talk to myself. This is not a gotcha moment. Talking to yourself is not a problem. Answering yourself and talking back, that's when it becomes a little weird. But growing up, you remember the cartoons where you had the devil on one shoulder, the demon on one shoulder, you had the angel on the other shoulder. It is a cute cartoon or a cute look into life as a child because it's really like, am I going to eat the candy that mom told me to wait until later? Am I going to go ahead and eat it now? And it starts off with those kind of decisions. But verse 17 says that there are two incompatible, conflicting forces within every man and every woman, whether you are saved or unsaved. Saved does not relieve you from the issue of the conflicting forces within us. What salvation does is it gives us a better way, and it gives us the weapons to defeat what is affecting us. I want to encourage you today. You have some things in you that are always going to be fighting what God is saying and what God is wanting to do in your life. But I'm here to tell you, you are not the only one. That person that looks like they have their life completely together, sitting next to you, in front of you, or across the aisle, let me tell you, they've had some crazy thoughts this week. Oh, got quiet. Can I tell you that the guy holding the microphone today, it hadn't all been faith, and it hadn't all been hope, and it hadn't all been scripture. In this mind bouncing around, there's some crazy thoughts that have happened. But what I do is I crucify my flesh, and we're going to talk about how we crucify my flesh and we bring those thoughts into captivity. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Do not quench the spirit." To give context to 19, last session we read verses 16, 17, and 18. Always be joyful, never stop praying, and be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for those who belong to Christ. I belong to Christ and you belong to Christ. That doesn't mean that the adversary has quit on you. It just has made him mad that you have chosen God over him, because he thought you and him were real tight 10 years ago, 10 months ago. But when you said no to the devil and you said yes to God and his plan, it changed everything. So if you have thoughts that are trying to quench, if you've got a battle going on that is trying to stop the spirit, the Bible says that those type of things cannot live in a joy-filled environment, an environment that is saturated with prayer, and in an environment that is full of praise. Verse 19, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not stifle, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good, stay away from evil. Let's go to Galatians 5, verse 18, now that we're all caught up. Verse 18, but when you yield to the life of the Spirit, when you yield to the life of the Spirit, yield means you step into, you jump into the flow of what the Holy Spirit is doing. Here is what I've found, church. The Holy Spirit does not move just because I refuse to get involved. The Holy Spirit might not be working in me, but the Holy Spirit is still working. Just because you refuse to eat doesn't mean that everybody else quit eating. Just because you don't think God heals doesn't mean that God is not healing others. Just because you don't believe in the gift of the power of the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that everybody else that has already received it quit speaking in tongues and being led of the Spirit. What I have found is that God is not waiting on me to jump into what he's doing. He is always moving. He is always speaking. He is always flowing. But it is up to you and I as believers to yield and submit and say, God, if that's what you're doing, I want to be involved in what you're doing. But when you yield, the Bible says, verse 18, to the life of the Spirit, you will no longer be living under the law. This is important. We're going to get there today. The law is the Old Testament. Primarily, when we speak law, we're not talking about all of the Old Testament, but we are talking about the first five books of the Old Testament, the Torah, the Pentateuch. It's the laws, over 600 of them, that were given by God to the people of God for them to govern their lives by. Now, the rest of the Old Testament, these men and women are living their lives according to the law. Here's the problem with the law. You can try as hard as you can. You can be the best person on the face of the earth, but you're never going to be able to fulfill and do all the law says. So instead of the law becoming a blessing, this is what happened in the Old Testament. The law became a burden because they could not live up to God's glorious ideal for their life and his plan for their life. And so every day they woke up striking out. And now instead of the word of God and the law bringing life unto them, it has now made them feel lesser than. It is why Jesus had to show up, because men and women could not fulfill the law. When the Bible says we yield to the life of the Spirit, we give in to the pressure, we submit. And he said, you'll no longer be living under the law, but you will be soaring above it. All right, turn to your neighbor and tell him, buckle your seatbelt right now. Here we go. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, talking about the battle within, self-life. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Meaning there is no ambiguity. There is no, let me give my take on it. Let me tell you what I think God meant. Let me tell you what I think it meant over here in the Old Testament. Jesus never talked about this. Can I just put that once and for all to rest? The Bible is the word of God. God is Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus is standing in Genesis chapter 1 when God says, the Father says, let us make man in our image. We like to put a big emphasis on the red letters that Jesus said in the New Testament. I have said that, I have done that. But I just need to let you know, Genesis chapter 1, all the way through the end of Revelation, it is all the word of God. It is all red letter. It is all Jesus' word. When you follow the desires of your self-life and sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality. Man, it got real quiet. Impurity, lustful pleasures. This is what God spoke to me while I was preparing this 2 weeks ago. He said, I need you to study the Greek on what sexual immorality, impurity, and lustful pleasures. Because preachers, we just say that and everybody thinks that their sexual immorality is not in the list of that sexual immorality. Oh, he means the heinous things. He means the crazy things. Let's talk about sexual immorality, pornography. Pornography is not just a website. Pornography is you scrolling through Instagram looking at people that are not your wife or not married to you, not your husband and not married to you. The thing that is crazy about X, formerly Twitter, is it tells us what you've been liking. I don't know why this is on my ex. It's called an algorithm. It's because you search for that thing one time and now your timeline is full of those things because that's what your desire was. And the enemy can work in technology just like he did 4,000 years ago. Whatever you like, the enemy is going to march it in front of you every day. If you don't like it, it's not going to be a temptation. I've never been tempted by a man, but I have been tempted by women. Can we just talk about that just a little bit? Whatever you are tempted with, that you have an appetite for, the devil will bring in front of you. Pornography, homosexuality. Nobody talks about it anymore, but we're going to talk about it. It is sexual immorality. God made one man and one woman. He built the family unit in Genesis. He built the marriage unit between one man and one woman. And it carried through all of the Old and New Testament. And you say, well, Pastor, I wish you wouldn't talk about that. I've got friends that I've invited here. I love your friends enough not to coddle them or make them feel comfortable in their sin. I've come to preach the gospel, but I will never preach sin without a Savior. There is a way that is better than what your flesh wants. There's a way that is better than how you've been living. And we've got people all over this building and watching online today that used to suffer that way, that used to go through those things, but God has delivered them from all sexual immorality. And before we clap too hard on that one, because it doesn't involve us, God views your out-of-control heterosexuality the same way that he does homosexuality. You bumping with somebody new in the club every Friday, Saturday night. You swiping left, swiping right, hitting people in the DMs, sliding in the DMs, knowing that they are not God's choice for you, knowing that they're going to lead you down a path that you're going to lose the battle within. Shacking up is still a sin. If you're living with somebody you're not married to, if you're sleeping with people you're not married to, guess what? You're sleeping with somebody else's wife, with somebody else's husband, and We've got to get on the right track. Some of you are not winning the battle here because you can't win the battle in the bedroom because of what you're suffering through on your own. Stop it in the name of Jesus. Break it in the name of Jesus. Let God do what He wants to do in your life. I'm tired of reading apologies from pastors because they stepped out on their wife or stepped out on their husband. I'm tired of pastors committing multiple affairs, sitting down for 3 weeks on a pew and then being restored back to the pulpit. We need the pulpits to be clean, but we need the pews to be clean. We all need to be striving. How can my kids win the battle if dad's not winning the battle? How can the church win the battle if the pastors aren't living right, aren't doing right? Lustful thoughts. Well, pastor, I'm not hurting nobody. It's just all me. It's all in my head. I'm not actually following through. That would be okay, but there's a verse in the Bible that says if you look on a woman with lust in your heart, you have already committed adultery. Sexual immorality, impurity, and lustful pleasures is what happens when you allow the flesh man to be greater than the spirit man. Verse 20, he goes on and he says, idolatry. Again, we need to break down idolatry because idolatry doesn't necessarily mean that you've got a golden statue in the front room of your house that you bow down to and talk to and pray to. Idolatry is anything that we have that we place above Christ. You know, there are some frivolous things that you can make idols. Shame on the men who spend more time on DraftKings studying scores and the over and under than they do in their word. You've made gambling a god. You've made fantasy football a god. Shame on the ladies who spend more time on Pinterest and Instagram and filtering your face so that you can put... Let me just ask this question for the ladies in the house and maybe some men. Who are you trying to impress on Instagram? Why are you putting all the filters? Aren't you married? Don't you have kids? Who are you trying to make fall? Who are you trying to make lust? Are you putting yourself out there to see if anybody is still willing to get with you after you've had these kids and you've been married? Can I encourage you? Let's quit putting things above God. That's how we're losing the battle within. That's how we lose to me, myself, and I when we make it about anything other than God. It's any time we give anything priority to other than Christ. I thank you for praying for Mandy. Pastor Mandy's sitting here today doing a whole lot better, and a lot of you have been reaching out and praying for her. But I had a conundrum this past week. She's been into the doctor's office and emergency situations, and God is healing her and has healed her, and it's continuing to happen. But I had a difficult choice. I've got a wife that I stood before God and I said, in sickness and in health. But then we had a men's conference. And I have told the men that we're going to have a great time. And I feel like God gave me a word. And so I wrestled all week last week. Do I go? Do I stay? And I'd like to tell you that God told me what to do. And I believe he did, but he didn't speak to me. He told Mandy to tell me. She said, you can't do anything here that you can't do there. You can pray there just like you do here. And then she told me this. She said, my mama takes better care of me than you do anyway. She didn't say it like that. That's through the filter of Brandon. But in that moment, I'm struggling with... And look, sometimes idolatry is not some big bad wolf. Sometimes it's like, God, it's my family and you. These are two choices. But what God did the past 2 days in Palacios, I promise you, is going to have a greater impact than if I had sat in my house and made myself available to bring ice and water and divvy up meds and all of the things that I could do. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't do. I'm just saying that anytime we have a choice, Jesus or anything else, we have to lean in to Jesus. Then he goes on in verse 20. He says, we're talking about, remember, the things of your sinful nature, self-life. He says sorcery. See, in our minds, we think of Harry Potter. We think of a witch with a big pointy hat and a big cauldron. Sorcery, though, in 2024 is a horoscope. I don't need to know if you're a Libra, a Cancer. That's only two I know, because that's not my thing. It's amazing that you think you put faith in a God to save you, but then you're reading nonsense to guide you. Let me just tell you this, and I know that there's probably some skeptics in the room. Let's just fix this real quick. There's some skeptics in the room that say, well, Pastor, when I read my horoscope, it is scarily accurate. No. You are easily manipulated. Because when it says a Libra acts this way, and this way, psychologically now, you are predisposed and you have been told how to act. So then you start acting like the horoscope just told you to act, and then you want to step back and act surprised, like, oh my God, this is right on. I am, man, I'm going to follow this every day. No, you're easily manipulated. Listen, I'm easily manipulated, but I'm easily manipulated by the Holy Spirit. Lord, if you want me to go over here, let's go over here. God, you want me to talk over here, let's do that. And so it doesn't always look like the Wicked Witch of the West, but sorcery is horoscope. It's a Ouija board. It's clutching crystals. Jesus is the rock. He doesn't need any help from crystals. Remember, the crystals you're holding, if we don't praise, God said, those crystals will open up their mouth and praise me. They bow to God. We don't bow to them. Burning sage. I saw a mother, and she thought she was funny on TikTok. She said, some of you Christians out there that are coming after me because I burn sage and I have my crystals. She said, if you parented the demons I have, you need all the help you can get. Well, you're just telling us you're doing a bad job. Listen, when I don't know what to do, I don't burn sage and talk to the crystals. I drag them to the altar and say, Jesus, I don't know what to do. Put on them what you put on me. 100 or 900 numbers. Those kind of died when Miss Cleo died. But I see they're making a comeback, and now they're making them look really nice. There's California psychics that you can pay and you can get online. Listen, I don't want a chat GPT with some psychic that doesn't know me, that's taking $50 every 5 minutes, when I've got the throne room of God that I can boldly approach and that you can boldly approach any day of your life. Have you ever heard somebody talking, somebody making a speech, somebody making great points, and you are all in it? Yes, that's right. Oh, I like that one. That's how I was when I was reading verse 19. When God said, yeah, he said, those that are homosexuals and those that are pornographers and those that are dealing with all those that are idolaters, I'm like, yeah, God, get them. Yes, God, get them. And then in verse 21 or verse 20, he says, those who have outbursts of anger. I'm like, now hold on, Jesus. You're putting the angry ones over here with what I thought was really bad. Sin is anything that separates you from Christ. I had a really dogmatic religious person tell me one time, he said, every time you mention homosexuality, you talk about heterosexuality, and he said, those sins are not the same. And I said, intrigue me, teach me something, because if you're right, I'll gladly admit I'm wrong. He said, well, the Bible says that God calls homosexuality an abomination. And I said, okay, so you're saying that homosexuality is an abomination, but heterosexuality is in a different class of sin. He said, that's exactly what I'm saying. I said, so are you saying that an abomination will send you to hell, but a different classified sin will not send? He goes, no, all sin sends you to hell. Then I said, then why are we splitting peas? If it separates us from God, it doesn't matter if you're cheating, lying, stealing, murdering, or committing adultery. If it separates you from Jesus, then the enemy has won the battle within, and it doesn't matter how he gets you to hell as long as he gets you to hell. But as for this house, we're not going down that road. We are going to win the battle of me, myself, and I. We are inviting Jesus in. He said idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling. God looks at the fight that you're having with your in-laws just like he looks at the other stuff. Be the bigger person. You don't have to like to love. You don't have to like to love. I heard a pastor say it. I don't like them. I love them, and I never want to see them again until we get to heaven when we're perfected. I understand that sentiment. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy is the same as sexual immorality. See, some of us, we don't smoke no more. Some of us don't snort no more. Some of us don't get drunk anymore. And we think we've really arrived in our walk with God, but you are as jealous as anybody that you have ever met. You covet. You look at other things, you say, God, why them and not me? I wish I had that. I wish I had that life. I wish I had a spouse that's supportive. I wish I had kids that were doing what they're doing. That is jealousy. And God said, that thing is ripping you apart from the inside out. Jealousy, outbursts of anger. Ooh, this was another one. I was like, amen, sexual immorality. Get them, Jesus, all of these things. And then he said, selfish ambition. I was like, hold on a second. You don't want me to be blessed? No, I want you to be blessed, but blessing can't be your destination. Destination helps you travel, but it's never your destination. Selfish ambition, dissension, division, anytime we are divisive, you know what one of the biggest weapons of division is? Gossip. Talking about somebody in God's eyes is the same as sleeping with somebody that's not your husband or wife. So the next time we point somebody else's sin, remember, just because they sin different than us doesn't make them worse or better, or us better. I knew we weren't going to get a lot of amens here, but that's all right. The older I get, the more I'd rather just people hear the word of God. Dissension, division, and then it goes back to envy, verse 21, drunkenness. Drunkenness. As a leader, I don't drink. Mandy doesn't drink. We don't do it. The Bible says, be not drunk. So that is a command. You say, are people going to go to heaven that drink? Oh, I'm sure they are. But I do know this. I do know that I have a very addictive personality. And I do know that I'm a leader of men and women. I do know that I've got a son that is a generation that thinks different than my generation. And so I don't want to ever cause a stumbling block for someone else. Just because I can does not always mean I should. And see, that's how I win some of my battles between me, myself, and I. The devil says, God really didn't say you can't do that. And I just had to tell the devil, there's a lot of things I can do that I don't do just because they're not going to be beneficial for me or those that are watching me. Wild parties. You know what's a great night in the Fender house? A night where we can be home before 7 o'clock, pick up some Taco Bell, Chicken Express, or even a bowl of Captain Crunch. Sit down on a chair, a recliner, and a couch, and exhale and breathe. I don't know what you need to feel that causes you to have and go to those type of places. The music's so loud that you can't talk with your mouth, and so you gotta talk with your hips and your pelvis. Come on now. Can I buy you a drink? If you gotta talk that loud, you're in the wrong place. The wild parties, nothing happens good. My mom used to always tell me, because when I turned 18, she said, now Brandon, she said, I'm gonna take away your curfew. But she said, you need to let me know where you're going, who you're going with, when you're going to be home. And she said, you don't have a curfew, but don't be coming home at 3:30 and 4 a.m. I said, well, Mom, you just said I don't have a curfew. Why is that? She said, because nothing good happens in San Antonio. at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And so I said, so you are giving me a curfew? She said, well, I guess I am. The wild parties and other sins like these. I've never noticed that last phrase in other sins. He gives us a pretty exhaustive list. Then he says, but this is not everything. You know why I believe the writer would say it like this? Because the Bible says this, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. There are some things that will mess you up that won't mess them up. And I think it was Pastor Bill. Yeah, it was Pastor Bill yesterday morning. He said, some of us have trouble staying married because we never learned how to be single. There are some people in here today that you've gone from relationship to relationship to relationship. And here's the thing. Relationships aren't for you in this season. For the next 6 months, be single. You say, well, man, I look at my best friend and they've got this relationship and it's going so good. I want what they have. Don't be jealous. Don't be envious. They're in a different place, different walk. You're not fighting their battle. They're not fighting your battle. You're fighting the battle within. And just like you're not you when you're hungry, you're not you when you're lusting. You're not you when you're not satisfied. You're a different person. You're losing the battle within and the battle with me, myself, and I. So he said, and other sins like these, let me tell you again as I have before. This is Paul being inspired by the Spirit of God when he writes in verse 21, and I've said all of those hard sayings to say this. Let me tell you again as I have before that anyone that is living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's not Brandon. That's not Living Way. That's Bible. That's the Word of God. I guarantee you that 99% of churches would find a translation or would make their own translation of that last verse because they're afraid of offending people that have sat in these pews, in their seats, that are living that list. And so I don't do that to shame you. I don't want to manipulate you. I just want to tell you, if you're living that way and you have unrepented sin in your life, Jesus, inspiring Paul, said, you cannot come to heaven. You've got sin in your life that you refuse to let be covered by the blood, and you keep doing it over and over and over again. In the room today, I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to go to heaven. And the only way that you and I can go to heaven is we have to say yes to Jesus. If you have not said yes to Jesus, today is your day. If you've been fighting the fight, you've been fighting flesh, you've been fighting everything that this world has to offer, and you are still feeling empty, and you are still feeling like you're being manipulated by the things of this world, and you're still addicted, and you're still filthy, and you still got the stench of sin on your life, can I introduce you to Jesus today and tell you that the battle that you are fighting is about to turn in your favor, but it is not going to be by your hand. It is going to be by the hand of God that you and I give permission to stand on your feet. Self-life inherits something. Talking to Pastor Bill this week, I think it was during the podcast, and he said, everything we do, he said, our children pick up on and they do. And I said that, and he said, yes, good and bad. Whatever they see us, they're going to mimic us doing. See, we love to talk about the seeds, the good seeds that we sow, producing great harvest. But I need to let you know that every seed you sow is bringing a harvest. Good, bad, and indifferent, it's bringing a harvest. So when it says right here, if I tell you, anyone that has this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God, you have to understand that you and I have an inheritance somewhere. If you are a believer, disciple, and follower of Jesus Christ, your inheritance is the kingdom of God in the presence of God for all of eternity. But if you're living like this and losing the battle within, you still have an inheritance, but your inheritance is darkness. Your inheritance is a future void of Jesus. So self-life inherits the kingdom of darkness, but self-lead and self-leadership inherits the kingdom of God. I end with this. There are people who are surprised that they woke up in hell. There are people that are surprised that they took their last breath across the street this week at Northeast Methodist Hospital, and their last breath here, their next breath, was in a lake of fire, burning up for all eternity. They are shocked. They're saying, I went to church. Yeah, but you were battling within, and you never did get that battle won. I gave to my church. Oh, you gave 10% and you helped somebody else win their battle, but you ignored the battle within. And as surprised as some people are that they woke up in hell, no one in the last 2,000 years has ever made it to heaven and said, man, I'm shocked that I made it. Because when they walked through the pearly gates, they said, I lived a disciplined life. I crucified my flesh. I got rid of the nicotine addiction and the marijuana addiction. Come on. And pouring down hard liquor down my throat every Friday night, every Saturday. I quit living the wild life and sleeping around. I quit pornography. I let God help me win that battle. It is able and possible to overcome. No one in heaven gets there and says, I am so surprised that, why? Because they've lived a life knowing I struggled, but I gave it to Jesus. I messed up and I was failing, but I invited Jesus in. These seven in this altar have responded to God's voice. I'm not a prophet, so I don't know what brings them to this altar, but I do know this: what brings them to this altar is none of my business. And at the end of the day, if they think that it is separating them from Jesus, I'm glad they showed up in this altar. My friend Joe, I got a spot for you. I've been praying for you this week. Jesus is the answer to any question you have. The battle is raging, the battle is waged against you. Between your ears and your elbows, the enemy wants to take you out. I don't know if it's something like gossip and division. I don't know if it's something like jealousy. I don't know if you're coveting what those around you have. I don't know if you're still sleeping around. I don't know if you've got those websites on your phone and on your computer that are ruining and robbing you of what real love is. But I do know this: if it's hindering your walk with God, it's time to walk to an altar and say, God, for real, I am ready to lay that down and invite your Holy Spirit within me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, I thank you. As our pastoral team gets ready to pray and as our prayer team gets ready to pray, I thank you, Lord, that I'm in a church with people today that, Lord, we can preach the hard truths that the gospel contains. Lord, I didn't see anybody head for the doors, but Lord, the exact opposite happened. People didn't head for the doors, but Lord, 3 or 4 dozen people headed for the altar. They headed for the answer. They headed for your presence. Lord, let there be no condemnation in this altar, but Lord, the conviction that has drawn men and women into this altar, the conviction that is speaking yet still at their seats or online today. Lord, I believe that your conviction, God, is drawing people close so that you can remind them, I have already defeated that enemy, and we are going to help you win the war in your brain, your mind, your spirit, your life. But Lord, one more pull from those at their seats, those online today. If you're tired of fighting the battle on your own, this is for you. Some of us are embarrassed, but nobody's going to ask you your battle. It's between you and Jesus. You coming to this altar is not you admitting guilt to people. It's you admitting, I need Jesus in my life more now than ever before. So Jesus, give them the power, the strength to make a few steps that as they walk them physically, it's paralleled in the spirit that they walk into a purpose that cannot be derailed. They walk under an anointing that cannot be quenched. And let your spirit make up the difference. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Every head up. For those of you in this altar, I want you to lift your hands to God. And I want you to just begin to say, Jesus, I'm ready. Jesus, I'm ready. You say, Pastor, what do I need to say after that? I'm ready for what? That's up to Jesus. Jesus, I'm ready. Jesus, I'm ready for you. Go ahead and start laying hands. Jesus, I'm ready for you. Jesus, I'm ready for the next. Jesus, I'm ready to make some sacrifices. Jesus, I'm ready to lay down these things that have been robbing me of peace, that have been robbing me of joy and clarity. I'm tired of running to substances. I'm tired of looking to people. Jesus, I'm ready for you, all of you. Jesus, I'm ready for all of your word established as my foundation. Jesus, I'm ready for your spirit to lead, guide, direct, convince.